This is HPR episode 2748 entitled Writing Web Game in Haskell Special Events. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto and is about 44 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is Tutorto walks through implementation of special events in web-based game.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, listeners. I'm Tuukka Turto, Tuturto for short, and you are listening to Hacker Public Radio. This episode is about making a game in a Haskell, and this time I'm focusing on the special events, and mostly on the server side. So the goal for this I got from our kid, who was in the kindergarten with their friends, came up with the Cracky Worms and told me about them. These are small, 10 centimeter, 4 inches long worms that burrows in ground, are drawn to foam fields and large concentrations of people. They are dangerous, eat harvest and sometimes even people. And you have 3 options. You can either avoid them, you can try to fight them, or you can try and tame them because they can improve the quality of the soil. All this I was told by the kids. So, and then I was told that you have to make this in your game. So off we go. This is building on top of the new system that I talked about in the previous episode. I think it was 2733, and it uses quite a bit of structure from that one. I'm not going to go through all of the same things again. Only the parts that are different. So there's a resource on the server that you can read with. You can just make a get. And the URL address, and then you get the list of the news, and if there's any special events, they are returned in the same structure. So we have to have the same to JSON, from JSON to DTO, from DTO instances that I talked about the last time, and not going to go through that part. So only concentrating on what happens between the database and the actual simulation, and a little bit on the before sending the data to the client. So the first real difference comes the news and special events are stored in the database, and they are stored there in the JSON because I wanted to have lots of varied structured data, and I'm using a relational database, and that's a bit bad match. So I have to serialize complex data into text so that I can store it there. And when you are loading the data from the database, when the user has requested give me all the news, there's this part where there's a check that if it's a special news, you instead of just returning the database ID and the news article, we are going to add available options to that. And if that's just a regular news, we are just returning the key news article pair. And this is a case structure. I didn't find a better way of doing this. I seem to be writing these a lot. There has to be a better way of doing this. I have to try and find that, but I haven't been able to find out. So why are we getting the why aren't we storing the options into the database? This is because between the time that the special event has been stored in the database and between the time it's loaded, the situation might have changed. It might be that you're not even owner of the planet anymore, or some scientist came up with something that you can use against the worms or anything. So basically have to evaluate the options every single time somebody requests the info about that special news. So where do the special events options come from? There's yet again a type class that defines every special news or special event rather has to be able to do. It gets it's a three parameter type, and in the case of the Cracky Worms, there's the Cracky Worms event, Cracky Worms choice, and Cracky results that are given as a parameters. These three things are the what encapsulate everything that is related to this Cracky attack special event. So it's the special event of type Cracky Worms event. The choices are defined in the Cracky Worms choice, and the result of the simulation running is Cracky results. And there's two functions. Event options is what we are interested in right now. It's for listing current options, and then there's the result event that resolves the event according to the choice that player may or may have not been made. Hence it has a maybe as a type there. So it options that are available are returned as a list. These contain a title, explanation of the option, and a tag. And this tag is what when the client is sending info back to the server that the user has selected this course of action, the tag is what is, or option choice is what is used to identify that. So it's a record of three fields. The explanation of the choice is a list of text. Originally I was thinking that text would be enough, but then I realized that list of text is better because then I can have multiple items there, and the server doesn't have any opinion how it should be shown to the client. Client can show them all in one line or group them somehow or put them one after another on a different lines. So all those layout choices are done on the client side. Server doesn't have to worry about those at all. In this particular case, the options don't depend on the current situation, so there is no database access here. It just creates a list of three user options. In the show notes, I'm not going to spell all of the code out. It's pretty long, and it basically just repeats. But there's the first one that just constructs user option where the title is avoid the worms, and the explanation is keep using fields while avoiding the worms and hope they'll eventually leave. Next line, 50 units of biologicals lost, and 25% chance of worms leaving. So you are hoping that by avoiding the worms, they will eventually move away. And the option choice is evade worms. And then there's the similar ones for the attacking and trying to use them in your advantage in the improving the soil. And I like spelling out the results or possible results to the players, because then they can make choices. They can make informed choices. It's not just a blind guess like that they are going like, do I do this, do I do that? Because realism in the case of cracky attacks is maybe a bit incorrect word, but I want to think that they are not making a, in the simulated world, they are not making a snap decisions, but they are having a, some sort of discussions, and they are some sort of specialists and some professionals, and people have opinions, and then they can gather all this information and give this to you, that to the player, and say that here's what we know, and here's our options. Please help us to make a choice what we should be doing. And if there would be a, if the game would be a more complex at this point, I could make a database queries here and check that if there's a cracky worm specialist present on the planet, they could give me a fourth option that has some info, or that cracky worm specialist improves the chances of doing something and change the options accordingly. So now that the data has been sent to the client, shown to the user, they can ponder about which choice to make, or they might even forget to make the choice, or they might be completely overwhelmed, not be able to make the choice. But in that case, there would be nothing selected. But if they select, the data is sent, the choice is sent back. They can change their mind. Somebody else in the faction. This is a multiplayer game where players can form factions and share resources, responsibilities, and such. So in a such a situation, one player might choose that, hey, we are going to drive them away, and another player might come later and say that, no, we are not going to drive them away, we are going to try and tame them. And they could have a discussion about this or not. One of the players might just decide to select that this is the correct choice to make. So in any case, choice is made, and that is sent back to the client. There's there's the update. So it's a HTTP put, and the whole structure of the special event is sent back. And code is relatively simple. Relatively straightforward. And first, we are just checking the authorization, checking that the player is logged in and member of a faction. And then checking that the message that comes as in the body of the HTTP request is a special event, because you're not allowed to edit regular news items. At least not at this point. At least, and definitely not if you're not an administrator user. But that's the stuff that I haven't yet written. And then the code loads the message, and it pays attention that the loading is done by the news ID and the faction ID, combination of them, because otherwise it might be possible for a member of different faction performing a change to an event that is not concern of them. Yeah. So the faction ID has to be checked here. I'm doing it in the way that I'm loading a list of messages where the ID is what we are interested of, and the faction ID is the faction ID of the person logged in, and then just picking the first one from the list. No, actually, in this case, I'm not even picking the first one. I'm just running an update if the amount of loaded messages isn't zero, then I'm just running an update, changing the content of the according to the ID. And if the amount of the loaded message is zero, that means that somebody tried to either modify a news that has a incorrect ID, or somebody tried to access a news item of a different fraction. In both cases, we are just going to return 404 message not found, resource not found. Here's a bit nasty problem that I haven't yet solved, because we are just updating the news content with the or special event content with what the client sent. We are not doing any checks on the content of the content of that. This means that if there's a for example cracking attack, a crafty or malicious user might craft a message where there's a special event of plentiful harvest, and use that to override the cracky event. They could replace the event, and not just the choice that has been made. They could replace the whole event. So, in essence, they would avoid the cracky attack and get a plentiful harvest instead. And I have to write some sort of check on this place too. There's a quite long to-do list of little things to do. But in the end, we are writing to the database on that special event that now this choice has been made. Okay, then comes the resolving the event. So when the turn is processed, in the beginning of the processing, the system loads all the special events, handles them. I decided to do it that way because then there's not at the end of the turn, because then there's no, it makes the processing easier because I don't have to check when the event was created. It's just enough. All the events that are loaded at the beginning of the processing are old ones. If I were to do that at the end of the processing, then there might be events that were created during the current turn and where the users haven't had chance to react yet, and those I wouldn't want to process those yet, but those would have to be processed on the next turn. So by doing the processing at the beginning of the turn or simulating the turn, it's easier. I can just load all the processes, resolve them, and then carry on with the simulation. Okay, so there's a two. This resolve event is defined in that special event type class. It has in this case, it can be different for each and every special event, of course, but in this case, and usually there's a two branches. One is where the choice has been made, so the choice is just choice, and the another one where the choice hasn't been made, so the choice is just nothing. But the overall structure in both cases is the same. So we are just, there's a run writer t dot run maybe t dollar, and then the function that is going to do the processing. Key event pair is contains a database ID and the news article. No, sorry, not news article, the special event. In our case, the cracky attack special event. So what are run writer t and run maybe t, and what are they doing here? So they relate to the monads. I'm not going to go through the monads because I'm not able to explain and teach them in a sufficient way. Instead, I'm going to try and tell what they are used here. So they are monad transformers. So they basically they are wrapping the code in a, like they are taking a, I have a maybe monad that is wrapped in a writer monad, and inside of the maybe monad there's a more structure, but in this part there maybe T and run and writer T are what are interesting. The writer T adds ability to record information as the computation is performed, and the maybe T adds ability to stop computing early on if any subcomputation returns nothing. So it will, I hope it will be clearer when I show how I'm using those a little bit later when I go through those functions. They certainly took me some work to get working. I have used those before, but it had been a while, and I was a bit unsure in which order to stack them. But essentially, there's a stack of monad transformers that form a completely new monad. But for example, if the player has chosen to avoid the cracky worms and keep working on the part of the fields, there's this choose to avoid function that does that. Does the simulation? What happens in that case? So first it is loading the faction information, and here's the first chance of aborting. If the faction is not found for some reason, then and nothing is returned, then we cannot continue the computation. So we are just bailing out early on, returning nothing. I mean, we are bailing out early on. Going to have a look at the return type a little bit later. And the choose to avoid function says that it is that the event removal is what it's returning inside of that monad transformer structure, and the event removal is signaling the calling code that has this event being processed in a way that it can be removed, or is the situation such that it needs to stay in the database and needs to be evaluated in the later point. Because might be that the cracky are not driven away. They stay there, and on the next turn the player faces the same dilemma. They have to choose what to do, and then the simulation has to run again and simulate what happens. And this happens until the event removal is remove original event, in which case the event is finally removed. Or if the processing fails to run to the completion and decides that I cannot continue for some reason, then the event is also removed, because there might be some sort of problem in the system. We are just silently discarding those special events because they are not that special or that important, and keeping the system up and running. In any case, so get faction event takes the event, loads the planet that is related to that event, checks that who owns that planet, and returns that. And if there's a couple points that might fail, the planet might not be present anymore, the planet might be present but is not owned by anyone, nobody has settled it, or the faction that has been marked as a owner of a planet doesn't exist anymore. Any of these three cases happens, nothing is returned, choose to avoid function realizes this and stops processing automatically, doesn't continue, just returns nothing. And there's no if statement present here in the code. It just says that faction, arrow to the left, get faction event, and that does the automatically the checking that if nothing has been returned, bailout. That is what the maybe T is doing here. Then we are calculating new bio. So this calculates the amount of the biological matter that is consumed in this case it is 50 units, because farmers cannot work on whole field. They are producing a little bit less of harvest. And I could of course have done this in a way that during the simulation phase, where they are actually simulating the amount of harvest produced, to take the event into account. But I felt that it's better to do in here, because then the simulation code on the farms is a slightly cleaner, and I can create a report saying that because you were not using all the farms, you lost this amount of harvest. It's all about choices and figuring out where to put the code and how to structure things. That's the trickiest thing, in my opinion, in the coding. That's in addition to the naming things. Naming is awfully hard, in my opinion. But here, so we are calculating the biological matter, and here we are using that fraction that was loaded in the previous state. We are getting what's the amount of biological matter they have in stock, and if it's more than what we are, I mean, if it's more than zero, there's some left, we are going to return a tuple where the first item is the cost, that's the 50 units of harvest that the cracky consume, and the second element is the maximum of two things. It's either zero, or it's the current amount minus the 50 units. So it's always zero or more, but it's always the current amount minus 50. So this just tells you that we consumed, Kraki consumed this amount of the harvest, and this is what is left. And again, if the amount of biological matter is zero, there's nothing to update. So else is nothing is returned, and the computation fails out. Then comes part where we are actually destroying the crops or biological matter. Here we are just updating the database, the fraction information, and putting the amount of biological matter left there. And then there's this line, tell crops destroyed cost. And this is what uses the writer T. This is the first part where we are writing to the writer that some information, and we are recording crops destroyed data there, and the parameter is the cost that was the amount of biological matter that was destroyed. And then we are returning just a unit. Unit is just a it's not void or nothing, it just signals that this function is returning something, but it's not something that you can do some computation on. Basically, I usually think that it's returning nothing in particular or nothing at all. It's just something that needs to be returned when there's nothing to be returned. Okay, and this tell crops destroyed cost is the reason why we are using writer, because we can record information on that writer instance or writer data, however you should be saying that, and we don't have to carry that writer specifically. We don't have to pass it in as a parameter, and we don't have to return as a value. It's in the context of the function, or context where the function is executed. So this is what the monads and monad transformers are used to add a extra structure into the execution, so you can do things easier without having to resort to write a lot of boilerplate. Like the one part is that the maybe T automatically skips the execution of the rest of the code if nothing is returned, and the writer T is carrying along this list of cracky results where I can just record information what has been happening. Okay. The last part, named to remove news, is a bit, the name isn't perfect. I should come up with another name. But here we are throwing a percentile die against the odds, and if we are beating the odds, we get the success. Then we are telling the Then we are recording to the writer T that worms were removed, and we are returning just remove original event, signaling the calling system that okay, this is done. Cracky are leaving. You can get rid of the event. If we didn't beat it, we are recording that the worms are still present and returning the keep returning just keep original event, signaling that the cracky are still present. Do not remove the special event. So the result of all this thingy is a tuple, where the first element is a list of cracky result, and the second element is a maybe event removal. It's maybe because the processing might have, the computation might have returned nothing at some point, in which case the rest of the code isn't evaluated or computed, in which case remove news was never handled, and in which case we don't have that die throw if the cracky are present or not. So that's why it's a maybe event removal. And of course, but part of the result of this evaluation is the whole lot of database activity, so reading and writing. Okay. Now that the pieces are in place, it's time to put things in motion. So this next step is handled during the processing of the turn, where the admin has said that okay, now it's time to run the simulation for one step forward. So there's a for given function, we are loading all unhandled special events, and for each of those special events, we are calling handled special event function, and in there, we are just loading all the unhandled special events. Oh, sorry. Yeah, we are loading all the unhandled special events, discarding all the news items that are not special events. There shouldn't be any, but because it's not captured in the type level, I have to do it here so that I can move from the news item. From news article into a special event, and then we are calling the handle special event for each of those, which does the processing that I explained just a moment ago. In any case, regardless of if the user has made choice or not. In any case, the handle special event is going to insert a report that tells what was the result of the simulation. And that's the final piece of the puzzle. It's a yet another type class called result report that takes the same three parameters. So in our case, CrackyWorms event, CrackyWorms choice, and Cracky results. And the Cracky results are what the writer T was writing or recording during the processing. Here we have a list of things that tell what happened or what happened during the evaluation or simulation of that process. And now we are taking those and turning them into a news, which can be then saved on the database. And when the user next time looks at his news articles, there's a report that states that what happened. And this is just a plain news article that I talked about last time. The big part of the code here is to writing out cases or handling for combination of everything, because there's three choices that the player could have made, and then there's a case where they did not make any choice. So if the player did not make choice, then the news article is going to read no decision what to do about worms had been taken. That's the start of the news article. If they decided to avoid, then the start will be local farmers had chosen to work on their fields while avoiding the cracky worms. And then the next part is were they removed or not? And how were they removed? Did we decide to tame them? Did we try to attack them? Did we ignore them? For example, if we decided to evade them and the removal was successful, it will read, after some time, there has been no new cracky sightings and it seems that the threat is now over. If we decided to avoid them and the cracky decided to stick around, it will read, cracky are still present on the planet and hamper farming operations considerably. So there's just a little piece of text for each and every option that might have happened. And here the Haskell is helping me, because if I miss a combination of the option or result or something, it will tell me that, hey, by the way, this case has not been handled. And if there's an injuries, that is done by checking that if there's a farmer's injured element in the results. If there's one, then the news item will have a text, some of the personnel involved in the event were seriously injured, or if there is not, then it will read there are no known reports of personnel injuries. And the same thing with the destruction of the harvest. It might read in the end, 50 units of harvest was destroyed, or it might read that despite of all this, no harvest was destroyed. So all these things are checked and then tacked together to form a complete report of the events. And in the code, I'm using the diamond symbol to combine these text together, because text is in a high level, it's just if it were a string, it would be a list of chars. But because it's a text, it's a more evolved structure that is more performant. But they both are defining monoid instances that worked in the same vein, and the diamond is the monoid operator. In case of lists, it just concatenates the lists together. I talk about monoids at some point. I probably have been talking about them quite often, maybe. Can't really remember. So the diamond is a easy, simple way to concatenating the lists. So there was quite a lot of moving parts in for such a simple thing. And in the end, the user just sees couple lines of text, some choices to make, and then that resulting report. It's kind of I really didn't expect this to be so involved thing to code. But now that the whole pipe or infrastructure or processing, whatever you want to call it, is in place, I'm hoping that the next special event will be a lot easier to code, because I don't have to think how all these pieces fit together. I can just look that I need these three classes, one to define the special event parameters or data, and one to define what options you have, and one to define what the result will be. And then the fourth one to define what's the report that is shown to the user about the whole thing. There's still some problems left that I want to tackle. Like this current system is written in a way that the Kraki might attack a planet that already has a Kraki attack. Then it has two Kraki attacks going on. And you can even choose that I'm going to ignore these worms, and I'm going to drive away these worms. And that's just plain silly. But I don't have system in place where I could track such a things yet. I have some ideas ruminating, but I haven't been able to crystallize them or even write them down as a code. The another one is that the special event can be replaced with another. That's an even bigger problem. Like you just decide, I don't want to deal with the Kraki, so I'm going to replace it with a good harvest. But that part shouldn't be too difficult. Just haven't written that yet. And in the end, it might seem that the pieces met nicely, and there was a lot of planning in ahead, drawing all kinds of diagrams and thinking that this piece fits with each piece and such. But at least in my case, that's definitely not the case. In reality, there was a lot of experimenting and errors and going back and taking a turns and trying things, different things. I especially in the part where I had to decide where to put this stuff as in a modules. Not all of this code is in one file, and I kept getting circular references all the time, like module A referring to module B and module referring back to the module A, and that's not possible in the Haskell. That does not compile, and the monad transformers were a bit of a headache. But so I really didn't plan all this stuff on paper in advance. I basically started with the news that I already had, and then I figured out this is the starting point, and then I had the goal. I want to record our special events and do some processing with them, and then just started feeling my way from spot A towards the spot B, and sometimes going back and sometimes taking a turns and detours, but it's sort of like a connect the dots. You know where you are, you know where you want to go, so you try to find a sort of straight or reasonable path between those two points. And in a way, the pipes are helping me to do this, because they tell me that quite concretely what I have and what I can do. Okay, thanks for listening to this episode. It was a bit long. I really should try to make this a bit shorter. This maybe too long to listen. The easiest way to catch me nowadays is either via email, that should be at the Hacker Public radio page, or on the Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@mastodon.social. So, without further ado, I'm Tuukka Turto, at Astra.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.